You are listening to a sermon by Henry Neufeld, recorded on Sunday, April 16th, 2023, at Point Grey Inter-Mennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Thank you, Diane. And that last song we sang was very profound. We could have sung it several times. That would have been a good summary of my message. Years ago, at a workplace coffee break, the discussion turned to whether we should switch our church language from German to English. The younger ones, of course, advocated switching, and the older ones were more hesitant. After a few minutes, Mr. Driediger said, "If we switch away from German, we lose a lot more than the language." No one responded to that comment, but somehow I remember it. Was it a prophetic insight? I don't know. Because the point behind Mr. Dietinger's comment, whether he was aware of it or not, was that when our ancestors moved from Europe to Canada, the German language that they used provided a protective barrier from the larger society. Now, you can argue whether that was good or bad, but that's what happened. And I have relatives who had to go to Brazil. Their kids all speak Portuguese. They face the very same issue. So what do prophets look like today? The Old Testament prophets often had direct and specific conversations with God. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh and preach. Hosea was told to marry a prostitute. Ezekiel was told to preach to a pile of bones. They claimed God told them what to say and what to do. And their language often said, "Thus says the Lord, this is what God has said." In the New Testament, the call seemed to be less direct. For instance, we aren't told much about John the Baptist or his calling to be a prophet. Today, if you said to me, "God told me," thoughts of manipulation and delusion would arise in my mind. Mr. Riediger's comments sound pretty ordinary compared to the Old Testament types. Well, did he, like some Old Testament prophets, have one prophetic message and that was it? He only had one assignment: go to Nineveh and preach. Mr. Driediger didn't say, "God told me." And perhaps those were his only prophetic comments, or comments of a prophetic nature in his life. Maybe that's how prophets work today, telling people, "If you do this, here's what will happen." Paul, surprisingly, lists prophecy as a second most important gift after teaching. Maybe the observations of ordinary people, the letters to the editor, maybe these are prophetic. Paul says all gifts, like prophecy and teaching, are to prepare people for service. Are there any prophets today? What do they look like? Maybe we just don't recognize them. They're probably called skeptics, dissidents, grumblers, people on the fringe of the church. They challenge the statements of faith, the creeds, the sermons, and the doctrines that guide and dominate most churches. They are actually a threat to most of us. Prophets are not welcome in most churches. Maybe that's how prophets work today. They tell people, if you do this, here's what will happen. Maybe the observations of ordinary people like Mr. Greediger or letters to the editor are prophetic. The chapter that lists these gifts begins by talking about unity among believers. I find that odd. Jesus didn't strive for unity with his denomination. He was extremely critical of the leaders. I don't recall ever hearing a sermon on prophecy. There were sermons about individual prophets and what their message was. Richard Rohr says we need prophets to expose and accuse with no holds barred. That doesn't sound like a recipe for unity to me. We often think of prophecy as relating to the end times, and the book of Revelation and Daniel come to mind. They have a strong predictive element. For us, that needs to be set aside as a model. Prophets talk about the unthinkable. When you're pointing out things most of us don't see and don't want to talk about. Being prophetic requires a willingness to be critical of our country, our institutions, our churches, and religious organizations. Prophets might create a crisis where there was none. That's why they're not welcome. They're troublemakers. Think of John the Baptist. He called people to repent. But he also dabbled in political criticism, and that's what got him killed. He was a threat. He disrupted the status quo. And they arranged for his execution. Think of Martin Luther King and how his "I Have a Dream" speech galvanized the opposition and led to his death. Prophets are called to deliver messages from God by their actions, their character, and their words. Prophets teach, they rebuke, and encourage. A prophet can see clearly what is happening and tells us what will happen if we don't change. They challenge church and country. Maybe we need a different word to describe prophecy. Critic, auditor, mystic, a seer, radical, editor, visionary, take your pick. Whatever they are, they cannot be employed by the church or church institutions, because churches and most organizations do not tolerate critics. Prophets expose, they would not survive. And complaints to the church board about a pastor will arise if he or she ventures into the prophetic. It means it's time for a pastor to be called elsewhere. The third verse in the song, "There's a Wideness of God's Mercy," says, "We make God's love too narrow by false limits of our own. We impose rules and regulations around what we think they should be. And we magnify the strictness that God will not own. The limits and rules are designed to silence critics. Pastors and denominational leaders are addicted to their statements of faith, which becomes their Bible. Theologian Megan McKenna says we are like drivers lost in a fog of our own obsessions. We're unable to see the road clearly. Well, we need the mystics and dreamers. Maybe we need a theological GPS. A GPS shows us our destination and how to get there. If we don't follow the GPS directions, sometimes we think we know more than the GPS, we're told clearly that we're on the wrong route and what changes to make to get us to our destination. We don't like to be told by a GPS to turn around. Prophets read the signs of the times. They're fearless, they're honest, and they have a sense of duty only to God. I have a few specific examples where a prophetic voice was lacking. I restricted the list to churches. We don't have time this morning to get into politics. First example, around 1990, Vancouver's Mountain View Mennonite Church closed. A prophet was needed to warn other city churches that this was the future for many churches. Number two, if the editor of the Canadian Mennonite criticizes Mennonite Church Canada, this can result in pressure on the paper's board to get rid of the editor. Number three, a pastor asks for the income tax statements for some of the wealthier members of his congregation. Number four, MCC censors public statements by its volunteers because they don't reflect MCC policy on a particular issue. Number five, a Mennonite school principal admitted one more student to his school than his board had authorized. He did so because the student was bullied in the public school system. That principal was fired by the board. The power brokers of a conference closed a church, maintaining that the church did not follow the conference's statements of faith. And one more, an MCC administrator refuses to talk with persons who question MCC's actions. These are situations where the voice of a critic, a prophet, a spiritual GPS is needed. Remember, Jesus criticized only one group of people, only one group that I can find, his denominational leaders. And church leaders should take note of this. He was highly critical of the leaders of his faith who had the power. And he was brutally honest in his comments, as we heard from the reading of Matthew 23. Jesus told his followers, "You've got to do better than that." Thank you.